This is Stephen Strang. Today on the Strang Report podcast, we're going to talk about how Christian business leaders should lead in a time of crisis. And my guest today is business expert Michael Seip, who's going to draw in his years of experience to share this, especially during this COVID-19 crisis. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to welcome back Michael Seip, who recently did another podcast with me about COVID-19. But he's a business expert, and he's written an article that we're running on Charisma News about how business owners should lead in a time of crisis. And I am a business owner, and this is a time of crisis. And so I'm very interested personally in this subject. And I just wanted to ask you if you would just share with us the concepts that you put in this very well-written article, or sometimes we call it an op-ed.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having me on the show. And you are a leader, and as a leader, you know that leadership's tough. Anybody who says leadership is not tough either is, well, I don't know, they're not a leader, because it's tough. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy, being a leader is difficult. And one of the things that's really important is for a leader is to take a look at where the challenges and opportunities of leadership are. And they really lie in the wise deployment of assets and resources, the people, money, equipment, and tangible goods that are involved in whatever organization they run. And figuring out how to do that for the highest and best of everybody involved is a tough challenge no matter what. But right now, it's especially difficult.
And talk to me about some of the concepts, you know, guarding your heart, sharpening your mind, things that you put in this article.
Sure. Well, what stimulated this thinking was I did a podcast with a tremendous executive named Patricia Asp, and she's a business consultant, and she is on the board of ForwardWomen.org. That's a nonprofit for women that provides leadership training and mentoring. We were talking about tough decisions on the podcast and the difficulties of leading well. And she kind of came up with this little, it was almost off the cuff. I know it's not off the cuff because it's near and dear to her heart, but she just said, hey, Mike, just because I'm big of heart doesn't mean I'm slow of mind or weak of hand. And then we sort of explored that in the podcast. And I began to think about that from the overall context of my leadership experience. And regardless whether you're a Christian or a secular business leader, if you think about it, there's really three components to leadership. One is your heart, two is your mind, and three is your hands. And all of those have to work together. If you only focus, for example, on just doing things, that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing smart things, or you're doing them out of a right mindset. If you're just a smart guy, then that doesn't necessarily mean that your leadership is going to be compassionate or that you're actually going to do anything. All of us know a lot of smart guys that don't do anything at all. They just talk. And then we have the other side of it, which is soft-hearted. So there are some really, really nice people that are, I mean, they mean well, they're kind, they're sweet, but you wouldn't follow them anywhere because they're actually not going anywhere. So the idea behind this soft heart or big of heart and slow of mind and weak of hand means that we need to be tuned up in all those three areas.
That's so well said. And of course, those of us who are trying to follow Jesus know that, you know, your heart and being kind is a very important principle to a Christian, but you can also kind of hide behind it and use it as an excuse for not doing anything. So how do you strike that balance, or does this have to do with temperament or just native leadership ability?
Well, I think that we have a tendency to default to wherever our strength is, and often our strength becomes our weakness. So if I happen to be an intellectual, then I'm going to default to my strength, and I'm going to work out of that. So the idea of integrating these three things into our role of leadership, I think, takes intentionality. And it takes part of the reason that I lead peer groups is because one way that we get intentionality is through the interaction of other wise counselors. And Proverbs talks about that. It says, hey, you know, if you're going to wage war, get some smart people around you and get some different perspectives. And so if we bring people who are really, really, really kind and soft of heart, like my wife, for example, I mean, she's like, I'm amazed at her all the time because she just loves people. And so she helps me because, you know, if I tend to be a little bit too pointed in my comments or too harsh in my judgments or want to just, you know, go to work doing something, she'll say, hey, let's take a look at it like this. And so part of the job of a leader is to surround ourselves with people who can help us in the areas where we're not so strong. That could be in action. Sometimes we just need, and again, in peer groups, the same thing holds true from the standpoint of accountability. Sometimes we just need some people to just give us a swift kick and go, come on, go to work. Just get on with it, you know, enough talk. And so one of the key decisions that we can make as a leader is to just put ourselves in an environment where we can get counsel and inspiration in the area of heart, in the area of mind, and in the area of action.
You know, I think my listeners will be interested a little bit in your resume, which I haven't shared yet. It says that you're a serial entrepreneur having to do with mergers and acquisition advisor, an executive coach to CEOs and business owners, many of whom are in the top 1% of income earners in the country. You also founded 10X Catalyst Groups, and you help entrepreneurs grow to be profitable and have thriving businesses organized on a foundation of biblical principles. Boy, that is impressive. How in the world did you get to this point, and how did you develop these concepts along the way? Are they something the Lord showed you, or did you have maybe a mentor or a peer group that helped you develop in this area?
Sure. I was in a peer group for many years called Vistage, and I have a high degree of respect for Vistage. I refer my pre-believing friends to Vistage all the time. I was a Vistage, even back before Vistage, tech advisor, tech counselor, tech speaker, all of that. And Vistage was an important part of my business activities. It was a very profitable activity. I have great friends from Vistage, but it rang hollow for me ultimately because if you think about it, Stephen, there's no issues in business. There's no issues in life. There's no issues in the economy. There's no issues in government. There's no issues in relationships that don't ultimately have a spiritual root. And so if you're in a group that doesn't have a common spiritual grounding, you actually can't really engage fully in dealing with the issues that face a business owner, for example. And so I found Vistage to ring actually hollow for me because even though they were awesome members, they didn't have a common spiritual background. They have a biblical basis. So I always thought, hey, if I could find a peer group like this that was biblically based, it would be really awesome. Well, fast forward a few years and I ran into a guy named Buck Jacobs, who founded an organization called the C12 Group, which is a Christian CEO group. And so I became a C12 chair, and Buck was my first mentor in this. I love the man. Out of that evolved 10X Catalyst Groups and a little different approach to doing peer groups for business owners and CEOs and entrepreneurs. But that's really the lineage of this is Vistage, C12, and now 10X Groups. And we have a very vibrant group of Christian CEOs and entrepreneurs here in Central Oregon. We're a little town of 80,000, but we have about 50 leaders that meet regularly in peer groups to grow as Christ followers and to grow in business.
Well, that's very interesting. And even though we live on opposite ends of the continent, we have a lot in common. I was in tech at one time. That, for people who don't know, that is the initials for the Executive Committee. I was in it when I was in my 30s, and I got a lot of value out of it. My company was definitely the smallest one in the group at the time, but I quickly learned that the guys who had bigger companies had the same problems I did. They just had a couple more zeros at the end of their numbers, and I learned a lot, and it really caused me to sharpen up. But some of the guys in the group were Christian, some weren't. And after a while, it began to bother me that I was taking counsel from the ungodly. And so 19 years ago, started just an ad lib, independent, I don't even know how to describe it, group of CEOs. There are 12 guys in the group, all Christians, all CEOs, different industries. And it must have some of the same kind of dynamics, even though every group, of course, has its own personality. And not everyone has the opportunity to be in a group like this, but every leader needs some kind of iron sharpening iron mechanism, and it really needs to be beyond your own organization because you can have great people work for you, but if they work for you, it's just a different dynamic than people who can be totally, you know, honest because their paycheck's not coming from you. You know, I hadn't met you until we did these podcasts and just amazed at how much we have in common, and I'm just fascinated with what you have to say.
It's been really a lot of fun, and you're right. This issue about being in a peer group is so critical. The positive accountability, A couple of things that are really surprising to people is how many bad decisions they avoid, because the bad decisions are the most expensive ones, right? And so the opportunity to be able to articulate, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, Stephen, what do you think? And then have 11 other guys and gals go, that is the dumbest thing we ever heard. You're like, really? Gosh, I was all fired up about it. And then as they begin to pick it apart, you realize, man, the thinking is flawed. And sometimes you'll bring an issue to the group, and even before you get it out of your mouth, you know the answer because it's so obvious. But for most leaders, they really don't have a forum even to articulate their thinking, which is, I mean, it's great to be able to speak to your spouse, but it's not the same as trying to articulate something with some lucidity to people who have a brain and experience. And as soon as the dumb ideas come out of your mouth, you're like, oh, never mind. I know, we're not going to do that. Or it really sounds good and everybody nods in unison and you go, man, I might be onto something here.
Yeah, that's very true. And the concepts that we've been talking about are true anytime at all. And, you know, going into 2020, I mean, the economy was flying high and we knew we had an election coming up, but things looked pretty good. You know, we were starting to hear a couple of things coming out of China, but, you know, the swine flu had come out of China and SARS and, you know, China is a communist country and they lie and they beat us up in trade. And, you know, I'm just remembering my reactions as I started hearing about the news, but little did we know that we would, in some states, almost under house arrest. I mean, I think I read that the LA mayor told people to turn their neighbors in if they weren't following the quarantine rules. I thought, what is America coming to? Here in my part of Florida, we're not having a too bad of a problem, but I mean, you know, everybody's lives have kind of slowed down. Our business is still operating. We're going full blast. It's just that a lot of the people are operating remotely. I'm actually in the office. You know, we're practicing social distancing in the office. So in some ways, my life hasn't been nearly as disrupted as some people have. But I guess the thing I was leading to is that these principles are true all the time, but during this kind of time of crisis, and that's what it is. It's a crisis that none of us thought about. In 2019, did you think, oh, we might have a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic in only a few months? I mean, practically nobody except the people who study that would even think of it as a possibility. But yet, now, the subject that we're talking about today is how can a Christian business owner lead in a time of crisis? And I guess that's my question. How is leading in a time of crisis any different than leading day to day, week to week, month to month?
Well, here's the interesting thing from the context of what you were talking about is I'm a martial artist and a black belt martial artist. And one of the things that we learn in martial artists is that you train for the unexpected. You train for the life-challenging event. And the problem with most leaders is that they just kind of go along, you know, thinking everything's going to be okay. You know, well, I'm an optimist and it's going to be fine. And then they get blindsided by whatever kind of downturn, whatever kind of crisis happens. This is just one of many. I mean, you and I have been in business a long time and we've seen all sorts of things happen. And it seems to always come as a surprise to a lot of leaders. They're like, how could that possibly happen? And you're like, well, of course, things happen. That's the reality of life. And so one of the things to your point about being in a peer group is that we can prepare ourselves for times of crisis when things seem to be going really well, rather than just blundering along thinking, well, it'll always go well. Then when the life-challenging event happens, when the crisis happens, we're ready. We're tuned up. You know, we know how to move and it's instinctual.
Well, that's very true. And I'm just so glad that you have taken time to share this. And I'll be interested in the feedback we get from this podcast. And I want people to connect with you. Tell us about the book that you wrote and about, you know, the other things you have going, even about your podcast. Because I think in the whole time I've done podcasts, I've never interviewed anybody with a podcast. So tell us about your podcast, because I'm going to check it out too.
Well, I launched a podcast earlier this year with Forbes Books, and you can see it, some of the episodes at ForbesBooksRadio.com. That's Forbes, like the magazine Forbes. So ForbesBooksRadio.com/10X. And again, that's the number 10X. And it's on all the other podcast platforms, but that's the quickest way to get there. And the point of the podcast is to interview top-level Christian CEOs about how they integrate their faith and their work. And there's some magnificent interviews there, not because I'm a great interviewer, but because the people we interviewed are extraordinary, and there's extraordinary wisdom on that podcast. So I'm just having so much fun with that. And we got a whole bunch more of them coming. We've got some that have been recorded, not posted yet, and many more coming from men and women who have inordinate wisdom for us to learn from, but they don't get an opportunity to speak it in this kind of context. So that's the podcast, and that's just an awful lot of fun. The book is called The Avada Principle, and where it came from was that, and I don't know about you, Stephen, but for me, it seems like there's more demands on a day than there is hours in a day. And there's just so many things that pull on the life of an entrepreneur. We're supposed to be champions in the marketplace, champions at home, go to the Little League games, go to church, go to Rotary, do all these things. Sometimes it's just like complete chaos. And I found that felt like I was failing most of the time because I couldn't get it all done. And then I ran into this concept called living a balanced life. And that's a really common concept these days. Unfortunately, it's totally flawed. It doesn't work. You can't ever be in balance. And the minute you are, then you're out of balance again. And so I went from the failure of chaos to the failure of imbalance. And I began to look around and say, there's got to be a better way. And I started exploring the concept of integration and what that might look like. There's not much that's been written on integration. So one of the first questions I asked, if one was going to live an integrated life, what would you integrate? What would be the elements of an integrated life? And that led to some research and some biblical research. And I found one of the oldest words in the human language, one of the first words in Hebrew in the Bible called avada. And so when God sent Adam into the garden, he said, go and avad the garden, go work the garden. And that word avada, you find about 450 times throughout the Old Testament. And it's a word that simultaneously, which is only possible in Hebrew, well, maybe possible in other languages, but it's possible in Hebrew that one word can have simultaneous meanings. And that word avada means simultaneously work, worship, and service. And those are the three things that we're to integrate. And that's what the book explores, how to integrate a life of work, worship, and service.
Boy, how important. And I hope people will take advantage of these resources that you've done. And the nice thing about a podcast is you can listen to it again or you can share it with people, and I hope you will. So thank you to my guest, Michael Seip, for taking time to be with me and to share from his vast wealth of experience. And I know we just scratched the surface of everything that you can share, but there are other resources, the book, the podcast, the groups that people can inquire about and learn from. And I'm a big believer in peer groups, the value of having peer groups. So thank you. And I'll thank my listeners for listening and for sharing this. Because of you coming back and listening every day, my podcasts are nearing 1 million a month. I can't believe it. And it's kind of exciting to see the responses happening. Thank you for listening today to The Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.